struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm here with Joel Cleland from Centric. Joel, how you doing today?
Great. Thanks, Travis.
Joel is a burgeoning crypto expert. He's also on the board of Project Boon. We did an interview with Chris Sahanek a few months ago. Go back and check out that episode. Learn what they're doing with Project Boon. They're feeding people and connecting the community. It's amazing. I know you wanted to share that they reached their goal for meals already in 2021. We're recording this in August. It's probably not coming out till December, but what were they trying to do? Give us a little update on Project Boon, if you would.
Sure. Thanks, Travis. Yeah, Project Boon, projectboon.org, if you want to visit our website. We're a 501c3 nonprofit based in Southern California, but we've done work both here in California as well as in Mexico. Due to the pandemic, we haven't been south of the border all year, but we're looking to get back into Mexico as soon as possible. We put the organization together starting in 2011 as a way to help the food insecure in our communities. And during the pandemic, we found that that was a really big service that we were providing. Our goal in meals for 2021 was 30,000 meals served, and we've already hit 50,000. So we've surpassed our goal. We're actually in the middle of the summer right now. We're very excited about that. We're not stopping. We're not slowing down. But like I said, to learn more about Project Boon, please visit projectboon.org. And there's volunteer opportunities as well as sponsorship opportunities.
Oh, that's fantastic. Nothing like hitting your goal of 30,000, getting to 50,000, and it's only August.
We haven't even hit Thanksgiving yet. Thanksgiving's going to add another 10,000 probably.
Oh, absolutely. That's really cool. But we're not here to talk in depth about Project Boon. We're going to talk about cryptocurrency, give you some of the definitions of really what it is. We're still kind of in the infant stages of this thing. It's very confusing. Although all the things that you would talk about have a real world translation, and we're going to try to do that for you here. And then we're going to talk about how you as a nonprofit can accept cryptocurrency and how you would want to potentially use that to help further your nonprofit. Does that sound about right, Joel?
That sounds correct. Thanks, Travis.
Fabulous. Let's jump right in here. Tell us a little bit about what Centric is in layman's terms.
For sure. No problem. So Centric is the company that I work with. And Centric has been around in development since late 2018. So 2019 is really when Centric really started rolling. And we've been a dual token protocol, which I'll get into in a second, a dual token protocol since early 2020. And what does that mean? That means we have two coins or two tokens in one project. And one is traded on exchanges, much like the stock market, and the other one is an in-network token. So it's not traded on exchanges. And what is the difference between a token and a coin? A coin is on its own blockchain. So most of you have probably heard of Bitcoin and Ethereum. These are the top two cryptocurrency projects, and they have their own blockchains, and so they have coins. For those of us that are using blockchains, and Centric is that way, we were on the Tron blockchain, and now we're on the Binance Smart Chain, we have tokens. So we have a freely traded token, Centric Swap, which is on the Binance Smart Chain. And at some point in the Centric future, we will be deploying our own blockchain. And at that point, Centric will be coins, which is very exciting. And that's in our roadmap, and we're looking to do that. So do we have any questions so far on that? Because I think that was quite a bit of information right up front.
Sure is. So we mentioned blockchain, coin, token, and cryptocurrency. So I know you mentioned in the pre-interview that if you're doing your own blockchain, it's a coin. And if you're working off someone else's blockchain, it's a token. For the average person, the people listening to that, that's not a big thing you should take notes on. But really what we want to define is what cryptocurrency is and what blockchain is. So if you can give us a rundown of blockchain and its real world physical equivalent.
Sure. And its application. most of us are familiar with the internet. Go back 30 years and a lot of people still weren't familiar with it. But the internet is pretty much in every area of our lives today. Without the internet, you and I would not be on this interview. Or we'd be in person somewhere and maybe somebody with a camera would be shooting it for television or something like that. But the internet, I always look at the internet as like level one of the virtual world. And on top of the level one or the internet are these blockchains. These blockchains are built on top of the internet. And what are blockchains? Blockchains are digital or distributed ledgers. And a ledger, like you mentioned, Travis, we talked a little bit in the pre-interview, a ledger is basically a way to keep track of things, keep track of data, keep track of information. A lot of times we talk about banking ledgers. It's a way to kind of track mortgages and land sales and things like that. Basically what it is instead of it being in a written form on paper or in books, it's on the internet. And so these distributed ledgers or these blockchains are connected by a network of nodes. It could be computers, phones, anything that's considered a node is connecting everything in this digital ledger, this blockchain, and everything is basically transparent within that network. And the wonderful thing is that all the users can see what's happening there, or all the nodes can. And a lot of times, because this is the virtual world, there's a lot of things happening in the background there. Most of you have your phones or your computers, and there's all these operational things happening in the background that you're not even aware of, but you know that it's happening. And the same thing is true of the blockchain. So even though like physical users like Travis and me may be aware of something that's happening in a network, our computers or our phones, our nodes are actually doing most of the communication. And everything that's happening in that digital ledger space, because it's transparent, it's also immutable, which means it can't be changed. That's what that fancy word immutable means, is that we talk about blocks and it's a series of blocks on this chain and they're blocks of information. And so like if a new block comes in that isn't in sequence or isn't aligned with the other blocks, it's obviously not supposed to be there. And so the network naturally pushes those things out that shouldn't be in the network. That's one of the things I really like about the blockchain, is it keeps things very synonymous and cohesive. It's an ecosystem, basically. Sometimes projects in this space or companies in this space or people that are experts in this space will use the term ecosystem to talk about what's happening in the space. And as long as it's got continuity and things are kind of working together, the system works well. And so that's the blockchain. So you have the internet, you got the blockchains. And when I say chains, it's plural because there's lots of blockchains, just like I spoke about Bitcoin and Ethereum, each one of them has their own blockchain. Okay. And there are multiple chains out there. Actually, Ethereum is probably going to be launching multiple chains in the future. They already have Ethereum 2.0. So there's lots of that happening. There's lots of development in the space. So you have the internet, have the blockchains, and then on top of the blockchains, you have organizations like Centric. We're built on top of one of the blockchains and we're developing there before we build out our own blockchain. So I know a lot of this is leading up to cryptocurrency, so maybe we can talk about that just briefly.
Right. So this is blockchain as a ledger built on the back of the internet, basically. Fabulous. So how does cryptocurrency work with blockchain?
Right. How does it play into this? So one of the things that we talk about with regard to cryptocurrency is it's a currency, right? So it's the money of the blockchain. And without the blockchain, cryptocurrency wouldn't exist. It's virtual money. It's a digital asset. And a lot of times people ask, well, does it have any value? And the one thing that we kind of look at, we talked about a little bit before the show started, was that cryptocurrencies are valued based on psychology and emotion and market trends and market pressure, just like regular stocks in the stock market. And they're actually traded on exchanges very similar to stock markets. And most of the cryptocurrencies are basically like that. And that's why there's a lot of volatility, is they go up and down based on how people feel about them. And liquidity, right? Money, actual value goes into these projects based on how popular they are in the market. And so like one of the ways that we gain liquidity in the Centric ecosystem or in the Centric network is by people accessing Centric Swap or CNS, which is our traded token. Remember, we have two tokens, and they bring that liquidity into our network. And that's how a lot of the cryptocurrency projects work, is they get filled up with liquidity from the market. And so if people are valuing the cryptocurrency, the value is going to go up, the price is going to go up. And obviously, whichever networks those cryptocurrencies are attached to are going to become more valuable as well. And there are different ways that networks or cryptocurrency networks receive liquidity. Sometimes they're actually backed by actual dollars or other cryptocurrency projects or even commodities. There are also a lot, they're called non-collateralized. That's kind of fancy, isn't it? Non-collateralized, which means they don't have any assets behind it. There's just a value placed on the network. Like this network provides a lot of utility or provides some benefit in the blockchain space or in the business space. And so because of that, that particular network is valuable. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think we're getting a little bit deeper than we need to get, but I know it's exciting stuff and this is your baby. So we've got blockchain, the digital distributed ledger, which has a byproduct called cryptocurrency. Basically, doing the math on the digital backside creates this currency, and the currency is traded on exchange. So when you look at real money and real business in the physical world, you've got the New York Stock Exchange, which is the stock market that we are most familiar with. It's an exchange. It's a way to trade the valuation of companies back and forth. And then we have digital exchanges that deal in cryptocurrency. And it works by and large the same, like you said. If I've got good feelings about the company or the day today, people are going to be buying. So the valuation's going up. The same thing with cryptocurrency. That's why when Elon Musk sends a tweet and he's backing a cryptocurrency like Shibcoin going to the moon, which is very interesting, a lot of people bought, and the valuation of that particular coin went up until there's a reason for people to not have confidence in it, or they get fearful and they start selling off. Same way the stock market works. I'm sure I'm going to get angry letters like, Travis, that is not how the stock market works. It is, and it's okay that you don't agree with me. I'm perfectly okay with you being wrong. That's fine with me. So we figure out how this is created on the blockchain. We've got the cryptocurrency, which I think is really the two main points of definition. I know that right now governments are scared because they currently control the banking system that's called centralized banking, where they're really controlling it. Because they don't have control yet, this is called decentralized banking, because you have the ability to do things peer-to-peer without the government's involvement. And they don't particularly like when we get to do things on our own. Vast majority of governments around the world have rules that benefit them primarily. And why wouldn't you have rules that benefit you? But that all being said, we now know roughly what cryptocurrency is, how it gets a valuation, and how it's created. Fabulous. How do we, I've heard donors wanting to donate crypto to a nonprofit. And I know most nonprofits, they're not really sure what the deal is, how to take it, how to use it. Should they keep it in the cryptocurrency? Should they convert it to, if you're in the US, US dollars? Like, what does that look like? What are some of the avenues people can use to set up ways to receive cryptocurrency?
I see. The wonderful thing about nonprofits as well as the for-profit world is the market's getting wiser. For a long period of time, probably several years now, Microsoft, Amazon, Hotels.com were accepting Bitcoin from their customers who wanted to pay in Bitcoin. But they weren't holding the Bitcoin on their balance sheets. They were receiving it through what's called a payment gateway, and then they were divesting themselves of the Bitcoin, going right back into the US dollar. There are a number of platforms that are available online, and you go to Google and you say crypto giving or crypto give to nonprofits, you're going to find a series of platforms that are allowing you to do the exact same thing. And most of the platforms today are basically taking the crypto, just like the for-profit side, and going right back into the US dollar. Because whether it's for-profit or nonprofit, we want all the customers, right? So we want all the givers, we want all the customers. And so however those customers or donors want to give, those dollars want to be received. But why don't these for-profit, nonprofit entities want to keep the cryptocurrencies? Because the cryptocurrencies are volatile. The price goes up and the price goes down, just like stocks or commodities. And because of that, because there's price volatility, there's an issue receiving and holding the cryptocurrencies. That's why they go right back into the US dollar at whatever the current price is. What we're doing at Centric is we're developing a department within Centric called crypto donation or crypto donations. And basically what it's going to be is it's going to be like one of these platforms that allows people to give. And they can, the givers can give in any cryptocurrency they choose, but these actual nonprofits are going to have wallets that are Centric wallets, and they can hold Centric Rise, which is our in-network token. So we have the one that's traded on the exchanges, Centric Swap, and our in-network token, Centric Rise, which only goes up. And what that does is that gives the donors an opportunity to say, you know what? I want to lock up the Centric Rise for 3 months. I want to lock it up for 6 months, 9 months, maybe 12 months before my favorite charity gets to use it, because I'm going to make a bigger impact. And because Centric Rise grows every single hour, and you can look at it right there on chain, you can look at it in the Centric web wallet, the impact is bigger over time by the charities holding the Centric Rise. Now, can they go back into the US dollar? Can they divest themselves of the Centric or any other crypto right away? Absolutely. And that service already exists. That service is also going to be available through crypto donation. But what this is doing is this is providing another opportunity for people to give the way they want to give, whether they want to give with crypto or they want to give with traditional dollars. And they're going to receive the same tax receipts they would get in any other capacity. That's one of the things I think has kind of come through this space. And I've seen some of the other giving platforms. They're very good. You basically, if you can want to give with crypto, you can, and you get an email receipt for tax purposes. So you're getting the best of both worlds. And we're going to be doing that as well at crypto donation, but we're also adding some additional benefits, like the fact that the charities aren't going to have any costs. So there's going to be zero cost to the charities. With some of the platforms, there's fees that are passed on to the charities, or the charities have to pay a cost just to be on the platform. We're not going to have those costs. Any user costs are going to be passed on to the donors.
I gotcha. So you have to have something that allows you to collect cryptocurrency. Like if you think about what people normally use, PayPal, Stripe, whatever, and I'm sure these people are figuring out ways to accept crypto. It's just a payment transaction portal. And there's ones out there that exist right now, BitGive, Pinkcoin, and the Giving Block. I personally don't have any information on these things. I know that they currently exist, and some are going to have fees and some are not going to have fees, but your organization is working on something called crypto donation or crypto donations that is going to create the same payment portal that allows you to accept cryptocurrency as payment or gift. And when you get that, you have some options. You can keep it just like you have a physical wallet that holds your money. You're going to have a digital wallet that holds your crypto. And we're talking about you can hold it as the coin that it currently is. So someone gives you 5 Bitcoin or whatever.
100 Doge or whatever. Yeah, right.
Doge, SHIB, Ethereum, Ripple. There's thousands upon thousands of different types. And for those of you that are still confused, it's just like different types of money. It could be ruples, rupees, dollars, pesos. It's no different. It's just in the digital world, and you've got all these different companies. Instead of a nation creating their own currency, it is digital currency. So you can take and you can hold that. The problem is some organizations are not interested in the stock market on the backside, right? These exchanges where the price will go up or down. They basically say they don't want to lose money. So a lot of organizations, as soon as they receive it into their crypto wallet, just like a stock on a stock exchange, they sell it to basically convert that actual amount into dollars so they know exactly what they have at that moment in time. I'm assuming that one day there will be smart people in the crypto world that are working in the nonprofit side that are deciding to hold this based on the valuation potential that it could go up in money. So we've got crypto that people are holding in their digital wallets and they want to give to the nonprofit. They have some kind of portal, BitGive, Pinkcoin, the giving block, or what you all are creating at Centric. And then when they receive it as the nonprofit, they can send a digital receipt to the donor so they can track their giving. And then the nonprofit then decides if they want to keep and hold that as it is and let the exchange tell them if it's going to be worth more or less in the future. Or they can divest it immediately and turn it into US dollars and put those dollars in a regular bank. So I know in the nonprofit world, this is probably getting people like, what on earth? This is nuts. 10 years from now, this is not even a real conversation. It's just going to be part of the daily use. People are going to understand it no different than your physical wallet with cash and your digital wallet with crypto. It's going to be commonplace, just like the internet was, 30 years ago. Now everyone knows what it is, understands the concept, and it's perfect everyday vernacular.
One of the things that I think is going to become more attractive over time to charities is if a cryptocurrency can become stable. Because if it does, if it can also be stable, but also grow and have growth potential, that's going to be potentially attractive to nonprofits. And the nice thing is that they don't even need to, at Centric with crypto donation, they're not going to even need to do any of the research because we'll provide it to them. One of the things that we're focused on is educating nonprofits on integrating digital giving, as well as expanding their reach in this new world that we're in. And I think over time, they're going to see that they've got some big advocates over here at Centric.
That's awesome. One thing to point out is if you're receiving it via a crypto wallet, it is technically shares of a coin and not the coin itself. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the project, but because there's different projects that kind of have different structure. But at the end of the day, it's digital money, and the way I look at it is, we use the term the real world. I think that this is the real world, and I think it's the future. And at the end of the
physical
day,
world, physical
yeah,
world versus digital world.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I had a relative that was mining Bitcoin, got a big network bank of computers, basically doing these complex math problems in the background. And the reward for solving the problem is a portion of a Bitcoin, or it could be whatever other currency he's creating. Now, owning that Bitcoin actual coin, let's say he has 10 of them, the market is exchanging those at, I don't know what the market's at, 45,000 today per Bitcoin. So this 10 Bitcoin that he mined, quote unquote,
it's
mined,
almost $500,000.
Is almost $500,000.
Right.
So when we're talking about the crypto on the exchange, how it's being traded, it's the valuation of that currency, not the actual currency itself. So you are getting the exchange, you are receiving the valuation, the number of shares. Right, the same way as if a donor gifted you shares, they're gifting you shares of this digital cryptocurrency, not the actual currency itself.
Things are really quick in the space. Yeah, whereas if you have shares of a company, for instance, sometimes you have to hold those for a period of time to have them mature, or there's a certain investment point before you can sell them. With cryptocurrency, the user can move in and out of them on demand. And so I'd say that kind of makes it a little bit different. You can go back into fiat, which is traditional dollars, right away. You can go to another crypto by swapping it out for something else that you find to be more valuable. And so I think that makes it a little different. I think what we're going to see over time, probably in the coming months and years, is that people are going to start to favor cryptocurrency over any other type of asset or money, just because it's going to be easier and easier to use. I believe that.
I love that. Joel, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I know Centric is doing good things in the cryptocurrency world. We got a little bit of background on what the heck is blockchain, cryptocurrency, decentralized finance, DeFi, and then how to actually receive these as a nonprofit. And then it's going to be up to you and your board members to decide if you want to hold it and take the roller coaster ride, potentially be worth more money, or since we're not really sure what's going to happen with each specific one, it might turn out to be a valuation of zero. So a lot of people are divesting themselves immediately, basically selling the shares, converting it into dollars that they can use today. Up to you all to decide in the nonprofit world. But Joel, thank you so much for coming on today. Do you have any parting comments you'd like to share?
It's my pleasure. I encourage nonprofits and for-profits to connect with us at centric.com. Especially if there's something that you were kind of curious about, either getting some insights into blockchain or expanding your own opportunities in that space. If you're on the nonprofit side, new ways to receive donor money, we'd love to make a connection with you. And again, centric.com, just connect with us and we can have a chat.
Hey, thanks so much, Joel. I appreciate your time.
Thanks.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.